I'm Jeff Hampton, and welcome to the Legacy Builders Podcast. I have helped hundreds of investors protect their assets and maximize cash flow in order to help them create a path to generational wealth. Too often, hardworking high performers find that the structure of their investments not only cause liability, but also create tax issues. And it is my job as a lawyer to ensure that it is never the case. Each week, I will provide the tools, the tips, and the strategies to create maximum wealth in real estate and other investments, as well as interview some of the most successful people that have created their own path to legacy wealth. Kevin is relocating from Michigan to Tennessee, and he plans on starting two new businesses. One is a notary business for which he plans to set up an LLC, and then Kevin wants to set up an S-Corp for his real estate agency and his rental real estate activity. However, he wants to know if he should go ahead and set up his LLC and his S-Corp in Tennessee since he will be moving there from Michigan, or if it makes sense for him to go ahead and set up the LLC and S-Corp in Michigan and then do business in Tennessee. Yes, this is a true story I found on the Bigger Pockets forum. Look, I read all of the responses, and man, I was not impressed. So I wanted to unpack all of this for Kevin. Plus, Kevin was missing some very important questions he should have been asking before he plans to move. I'll explain what I think Kevin should do, but let's start by laying out his major challenges. First, let's answer Kevin's primary question. Should I set up the LLC and S-Corp in Tennessee and just deal with the tax filings between the two states for the first year or so? Or would it be more effective to set up in Michigan and just transfer the businesses to Tennessee upon arrival? If Kevin will be starting his real estate agent business and his notary business in Michigan, he should strongly consider setting up a separate LLC for each business in Michigan now. Why? Well, first, he mentioned that he will be doing business both in Tennessee and Michigan, and it's important that you set up an LLC in the state for which you will be doing business. If Kevin continues to do business in Michigan after he moves to Tennessee, he will have no problem continuing to operate his business from a Michigan LLC. However, if he sets up a Tennessee LLC now and then decides not to move to Tennessee later, like he mentioned, he could be in a position where now he has to pay for foreign LLC fees as well as all the compliance requirements for each state's LLC laws. What if Kevin sets up a Wyoming or Delaware LLC to run businesses that he's doing business in Michigan and Tennessee? He's heard that that would provide him more asset protection. If Kevin thinks he's going to get better asset protection or tax treatment from another state by setting up another state's LLC, he's mistaken. There is a concept known as home state rules control. If you run a business in Tennessee, you cannot just go set up another state's LLC and hope to be able to borrow their preferential asset protection laws for your Tennessee business. So we normally look to set up an LLC in the state where you're doing most of your business in. But even if Kevin sets up the right LLC in the right state, what's he going to do about protecting all the assets in the different businesses that he's starting? Kevin mentioned, I want to start two businesses, a notary business, LLC, and an S-Corp for my primary real estate business as an agent, and here's the keyword, and investor. I am picking the S-Corp mainly to help control taxes. Let's start with his notary business. Kevin is right to set up an LLC in the state for which he will be conducting his notary business. He can even set up his LLC to be taxed as an S-Corp for tax savings. Why? In this situation, a notary business is considered to be active income by the IRS. So by setting up an S-Corp, he can limit how much he pays every year in self-employment tax. Okay, here's the big one. Kevin then said, an S-Corp for primary real estate businesses as an agent and investor. Now, I want you to focus in on and investor. Kevin needs to be especially careful on this one. As a general rule, we never want to own passive real estate investments in an LLC taxed as an S-Corp. Why? Because real estate creates passive income for you. If you own real estate in an S-Corp, you could be setting yourself up for a tax nightmare, because you could end up paying a much higher tax bill if your effective tax rate is already high. But even if Kevin makes the right move by not using an S-Corp to own rental properties, should he do something different in order to actually protect his rental properties from a lawsuit? Yes, In fact, rental properties are one of the highest risk assets that you can own. Whether you own a long-term rental, a mid-term rental, a short-term rental, or multifamily investment, you have people staying on your property or you have guests coming in and out of your property. And if someone gets hurt, the primary target is going to be you in a lawsuit, and you could potentially end up losing your property as well as your personal assets if you're not protected. As a result, you need more than basic LLC protection. Why? Because only a handful of states provide you the combination of both privacy and charging order protection that you actually need in order to protect your rental properties and your personal assets from a premises liability lawsuit. So, what should Kevin do? He should set up a single member LLC. He should then have it held by a holding company from a state with preferential asset protection laws. By using this strategy, Kevin can not only maintain his wonderful tax benefits, but he can also gain the dynamic duo of privacy and charging order protection, which now makes it to where attacking attorneys will not be able to see that Kevin is in control of these assets, and they won't be able to make him sell the property even if he loses it in a lawsuit. This allows him to be protected from greedy lawyers trying to come after him for someone who is supposedly injured on his property. But why privacy? Here's the deal. Privacy makes it much more difficult for an attacking attorney to profile you. Here's what attorneys tend to do. If they start realizing they're going to move forward with a lawsuit, they're going to go to the Secretary of State and they're going to look to see who is in control or owns the asset. If they are unable to tell who owns the property or who is in control of the property, it makes it more difficult for them to profile you, and then they can't do what they call an asset search. Listen, attacking attorneys do asset searches all the time. They want to see what kind of assets you own, what type of profession you're in, how deep of a pocket are you really. But if they can't track you down and determine who is in control of the property, it makes it much more difficult for them to profile you. Unfortunately, if Kevin doesn't use a beneficial state law for his holding company, like Wyoming, Delaware, or Arizona, Michigan and Tennessee provide that if he loses the lawsuit, he can be forced to sell his rental property in order to pay the judgment. However, by establishing a holding company strategy that provides charging order protection, Kevin can rest easy at night knowing that he is safe from a greedy lawyer. Why? Because even if he loses the lawsuit, that greedy lawyer cannot make him sell his property. So, for Kevin's situation, what would we be looking at? Well, let's say he decided to buy a rental property in Tennessee. What he might want to do is set up a single member LLC in Tennessee for that property, but he could have it held by a Wyoming or Delaware LLC as a holding company. By doing so, here's what happens. If an attacking attorney now comes to sue him in that Tennessee LLC, the Tennessee Secretary of State will send him to the Wyoming or Delaware Secretary of State, where that attorney will now learn there is privacy and charging order protection. This provides a starter for Kevin to have some asset protection as he begins his real estate investing journey. But what if Kevin decides to buy more properties in different states? Are there more advanced asset protection strategies that allow him to both protect those rental properties and his personal assets? Yes, there is. To see some of the most potent strategies you'll find anywhere to protect your personal assets and your real estate portfolio, click on the video on the screen and I'll see you there.